Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, hey, everybody. Kevin Cruz here. Happy Friday. I hope you're having as an amazing of a day, as a week, as I am having. Maybe I'm having awesome stuff going on. Maybe it's this strong cup of coffee I'm drinking. Whatever it is, I'm feeling good. This is a Friday show, which means I just sort of talk about whatever I want to talk about. It's all about me, me, me. I'm so selfish. So it means I talk about back office stuff and business stuff, but hopefully I share lessons and things that I'm thinking about that hopefully you will find interesting as well. It's been great. And first of all, the prior episode on the LeadX Show podcast was my chat with John Maxwell. If you didn't hear that right after this one, go back and listen to that. Maxwell's literally the biggest name in the world when it comes to leadership. 100 books, I mean, millions of copies, all this stuff. It's the first time I spoke to him, and I really enjoyed that conversation. Very generous, very kind man. I had a great time talking to him. And it's been a great week business-wise. We finally released a new version of the app that killed some nasty chatbot bugs. I appreciate your patience, and I want to apologize for all those who encountered the bugs we had previously released. But we fixed those and kind of released like an alpha version of coaching mode. This is the third mode. So Coach Amanda can answer your questions. She can train you. She can teach you about management fundamentals. And now she can coach you in that way of like picking a goal and then setting up a 12-week action plan. And she'll, you know, follow up with you to be your accountability buddy. We're still working on it, but we wanted to release this early version so some of you adventurous types can take a peek at what we've got going on. Also released, I think it's 3 new webinars onto the platform. If you haven't checked them out, we've got a webinar, Why Accountability is an Essential Ingredient to Employee Engagement and Performance. We had another one, The Clarity Compass, a framework to uncover your blind spots, see clearly, and become more effective with Britt Paulson. And then Steven Rogelberg, who is all about the surprising science of meetings. And that book is a number one leadership book watch list from the Washington Post, Dr. Rogelberg. So these are incredible educational 1 hour, 30 minutes to 1 hour webinars, all now in the LeadX app, which remember, it's only like $30 a month. At its most expensive, it's like $20 a month-ish if you pay for a year in advance. Like, how can you not gobble up this learning if you've got a growth mindset, if you want to fulfill your full potential? But hey, listen to this. I have just spent this morning at one of the U.S. passport offices. There's only like 29 of them in the United States. There's only a handful that will do like super, super expedited ones. This one's in Philadelphia where I live. And talk about me sharing my personal stuff, but this touches on so many things. The first thing is it's a good reminder that even me, the guy who wrote 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management, I had to get reminded of this bitter lesson, which is when you hurry up, you mess up. When you hurry up, you slow down, meaning you're going to cause inefficiencies down the line. And I had been so hustling and bustling and working, you know, long days that I had forgotten that my passport was expiring. I wasn't paying attention. And now I've got a big speaking gig in the Bahamas. And hey, Bahamas client, if you're listening to this, don't worry, no panic, I'll be there. But Jackie pointed out to me, hey, Kevin, you know, your passport's it's not going to expire before you go. But they don't want it to expire in, I don't know what, a couple of months or whatever it is after you leave. So instead of it just being, hey, send my passport into the mail, it's like I burn half a day, total productivity suck, to go deal with this in person. So that was just kind of a reminder, like, you know, you go, 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 and that is not the right way to be productive. There's also sort of a success tip in this, though, because a funny thing happened on the way to the passport office. It was snowing lightly at 8 o'clock this morning as I got through security at the post office or the post passport office. And there's about 50 of us crowded into this room, taking our seats. We are the morning appointments. You call ahead to make an appointment or do it online, whatever. So I had an appointment. We're already there. And all of our phones start ringing like crazy. So we all start answering them. We all get yelled at by the police officers there. So the government security said, you can't take a call in here. So we all run out of the room into the lobby to take the call. And it's the passport office calling us to say they've got a delayed opening for 2 hours because of the horrible weather, which was like a dusting. So they've canceled all of our appointments. Everybody that had an appointment between 8 and 10 a.m., we were told, you got to go home. We're not going to see you. You've got to reschedule for like next week. Now, it was weird. It was a bummer. We were already there. There wasn't much snow, but they explained this was a live person saying, hey, they did a 2 hour delayed opening. It's already been called. The workers aren't showing up for 2 hours. So we just got to wash away all these appointments for the first 2 hours of the day. Most of the people in that room, they were mad, but they got their stuff and they left because that's what we were told to do. Now, I often tell my kids, don't just take the first no as an answer. And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to fight. I don't mean to cut the line or anything like that. But for those of you who've really been listening for a while, you might remember that I had this, well, it was a good trip to Hawaii, but everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And pretty much everything that I wanted to go see and do was sold out, including like the Pearl Harbor visit and tour. But like back then, the hotel tourist people said, oh no, it's all booked up for like weeks in advance. You'll never get in. And then I called and they said, oh no, tickets are all sold out. And then I went online to the government website, said, hey, your tickets are all sold out. You know, you can't go. But I thought, well, what happens if I just show up at the gate? What are they and just say, hey, I came all the way from Philadelphia. I'm not going to be back probably forever. Is there any like cancellations? Is there any creative way? Is there something like, I don't know. And of course I show up and they're like, oh sure. Well, we always have overflow and all that. Go wait over there and we'll call you. No guarantees. And I got called. So the same thing here, everybody else is leaving the passport office. And I'm like, geez, I've already burned this whole day or half the day. I really am not in a position to burn another day. And then it's going to get really close to my Bahamas trip. So I said, I'm just going to wait. I know they're going to open up in 2 hours and they're going to see these other people that are going to come in. Let me just wait till people who work there show up and I'll just ask, hey, is there any way you can sneak me in? Just friend, I'll be friendly. I'll be polite. If they say no, got it. But hey, I'm already there. And sure enough, like an hour later, the director shows up. He apologizes for the delayed opening and he asks, hey, is anybody here who we canceled an hour ago? And sure enough, there were like 5 or 10 of us. They're like, yeah, we're still here. So I'm not the only one that has this crazy idea. And he says, well, I'm glad you're here. He says, we shouldn't have called. We're going to move you to the front of the line and take care of you. And so by 10 o'clock, I was seeing some, you know, person about my passport situation. And I was out of there by 10:30. And so, you know, hey, kids, meaning my own kids, you know, another life lesson, like, don't just take the first information, especially if it's from some big organization, as the final answer. The other thing that was a kind of an interesting study is I'm sitting in there with like 50 people. And as I've been doing more and more personality and leadership work, I just continue to value it and I see the world differently. You know, this first step in leadership is self-awareness. You really can't lead others effectively. You can't bond with others if you don't understand the differences in personality and you don't understand your own triggers. And, you know, there's something about even people who really understand, they've gone through whatever your flavor is, DISC, Myers-Briggs, et cetera. Of course, we like the gold standard 5-factor model of personality, also known as the Big Five. Even if you understand it and modulate your personality, you fall back on your worst behaviors under stress. You know, that's when real personality comes out. So if we've ever worked for a boss who's like a screamer, you know, a stomper, a pound the table, that comes out during times of stress. It's not there usually all of the time. And when you understand personality, like the whole world, including your personal relationships, relationships with your kids and stuff, it looks different. And I couldn't help, like, this was, boy, I am in a fishbowl of humanity or society. You know, it's all walks of life trying to get this emergency passport thing, you know, and there's 50 of us in this room. I mean, you know, men, women, old, young, you know, all kinds of, you know, races and religions where you could just see around the room, quite a mix. And it was interesting to see what happened. And so, for example, at one point, the woman next to me got up and walked out, I think, to use the restroom. And the two people that were down the row moved over. So they slid over. So they're closer to me. They took her seat. And we had all been put into a seat, and that was the order we were going to go up. So she stood up, they slid over. Now, maybe they just thought she left, so they were going to fill the gap and become next in line. Maybe they thought they were cutting the line by one seat. Maybe, you know, they knew she was going to the bathroom, didn't care. I don't know. They just slid over. And there were three well-armed, you know, police officers, federal police guys standing there in the front of the room. And one of them said, "Hey, slide back down, take your original seats." And he said it a little bit loud. He said it quite firmly. I think, you know, security personnel are trained to like use a command voice, which most people will obey. And the woman who had slid down said, "Why?" And he said, "I don't have to explain why, just do what I tell you to, slide back in your original seats. We've been giving you those seats. That woman's coming back. You need to stay in order." And she said, "You guys all need to learn how to relax." And then she stood up and he said, "What?" She says, "You guys need to take a chill pill. You guys all need to learn some stress management or something." And the one officer said, "Thank you very much. And we want you to have a nice day." That's what the first officer said. The second one said nothing. And the third one said, "We are relaxed. We are chill. Don't tell me to relax. You relax." She says, "I am relaxed. All I wanted to know was why." He says, "I don't have to tell you why." It became a big fight. It was a fight until she said, "By the way, I'm running for president. And when I win, I'm going to fix all of you." It was hard for me not to laugh out loud. But this was what the spectacle was at 8 o'clock this morning. And I don't know, I think like several years ago, I would have just, I wouldn't known what to think about it. I just would have observed. Maybe I would have felt a little uncomfortable with this this dispute, this back and forth in loud voices going on, like right next to me, right? It would have been a little bit triggering to me. And, or maybe I would have been judging, you know, I would have been like, who knows how I would have judged. I would have judged like, boy, that lady's a big mouth and she's obnoxious and she should just shut up. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have quite thought that, but I could have. And maybe it would have been judgmental of the police officer and been like, why does he have to be so mean and yell? And they should, you know, we pay their taxes. I don't know. I would have been judgmental. But since getting into the big five personality stuff, I literally see the world and really people, I should say, in the world differently. So what the dialogue in my mind as I'm seeing this go down is, so one of the big five super traits is agreeableness. So if you're high in agreeableness, which I am, you value like keeping the peace, keeping everybody happy. You want everything calm, everyone happy, happy. So you don't really challenge. And when you're really high, like I am, it makes it hard to give people like on your team feedback. Because like, you don't want to I don't want to bum them out. I don't want to start a fight. I want them to like me. You know, that's the downside of being really agreeable. The upside is you've got a lot of friends. People like having you on the team. You're going to get promotions because people think you're a team player, get along with everybody. That's all the good side. Now, the opposite, though, low agreeableness means you value like your opinion over relationships. You value being right over how other people feel. You value your ideas and winning over other people's ideas and consensus building. So knowing this, as all this conflict's going on next to me, I'm just totally like passive and looking and saying, oh, she's low in agreeableness. You know, she is pushing forth what she thinks is, you know, a wrong, and she wants it to be noted, and she wants to be right, and she wants to win, and she cares about her own position. She does not value the emotions of the other person or keeping the peace on the team around her. So I just think, oh, wow. So, you know, I'm high in agreeableness. I would never do what she did. But rather than me thinking she's wrong or a bad person, I just, she's low in agreeableness. That's what I know about her. And then there were literally three police officers at the front. And remember what I said about how they reacted. So like one guy in reaction to her loud challenge, her stand up loud challenge saying, you guys need to get some stress management around here. He said, you know, thank you. I hope you have a nice day. So he's high in agreeableness. You know, his reaction to that was like, let me just keep the peace. Let me just like, it's not about winning or putting her in her place. Let's just try to keep everything calm. The guy who said nothing, I'm guessing, was middle agreeableness, right? He didn't try to defuse it, and he didn't get in her face again. He just said nothing. So it was neutral. And then, of course, the third guy was the one that went back at her, you know, so he's also like her, low in agreeableness. So when you have two people who are low in agreeableness, that's when the conflict goes. So he's telling her, you know, you just sit down, you do what we tell. We don't have to tell you why. And we are chill and blah, 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 blah. So all of this, like, I would have looked at it differently, or would have been triggering to me as someone who's high in agreeableness. Like, there's conflict going on. I hope they stop. I hope they don't get me involved. And it was just like, oh, you know, this person's high in agreeableness. You know, this person's high in agreeableness. These others aren't. And they're just doing their thing. And it's not right or wrong. It's just different. Like, they're opposite of me, the two who are fighting. So anyway, I didn't expect to go on this long of a rant. But it's something where when you start to understand personality, the whole situation changes. Your relationships with your significant other, with your children, with the people on your team, with your boss. You know, if your boss is a screamer, you know, there's these what's called like low frequency, high impact, negative emotion. It just won't be as triggering to you. Just be like, you know, that's Steven being highly neurotic today. I'm low in neuroticism, so he is much crazier than me, but there's got to be some people who are less crazy than me. It just becomes a different way to view the world. Anyway, that's my 2 cents, my update on what's going on with Lead X. Hey, thanks for all of you who gave me comments about my forthcoming book. If you didn't pre-order yet, please pre-order. It's your Valentine's Day gift to me. Thank you. Thank you. Great Leaders Have No Rules, available Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever it is you'd like to buy your books. Until next week. Hey, remember, leadership isn't a choice, because we're influencing everybody all of the time. John Maxwell told me leadership is influence. So if he said it, you know, it's got to be true. How are you going to lead this weekend?